up, everybody?
Welcome back to Mile Higher Podcast, where we take your mind a mile higher. And today on episode 82, we are going to be talking about the Bohemian Grove, finally.
Yes.
And the Bohemian Club.
Yes, yes.
Really interesting topic. And we've mentioned it so many times on our podcast, and we're always like, oh, we got to do a whole episode
on
it. We've got to do a whole episode on it. We never have.
Here we are.
So here
finally doing one.
We are.
The mystery of Bohemian Grove, man. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of stuff to dig into with this one. So we'll go ahead and just jump right into things. But before we do, we want to thank our sponsors for today's episode. We've got Calm, Upstart, Snow, and Stamps.com sponsoring today's show. Thanks so much, guys. But let's go ahead and jump into woke news for today. The first story is India attempted to land their probe, their Vikram probe, on the South Pole of the moon. Mm-hmm. And they got so close to doing it. Well, the probe did make it to the moon, but literally like a mile above the surface of the moon,
right before they're about to land,
they completely lose communication with this thing.
Yeah. And they don't know why,
which is
right?
Devastating. No, they don't know why. Just like all of a sudden, they're like, everybody's getting ready to celebrate. Yeah. Can you imagine,
it
like,
really sucks
what the control room must have been like? I mean, there was like some clips of it that came out, and just like as soon as they lost communication, everybody just looks.
Well, this was like a big deal for India.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, they were trying to join, you know, the rest of the countries, which there's only a couple, including us, who have actually landed successfully on the moon. Mm-hmm. It's actually a lot harder to do this than I think a lot of people think. Because we've done it a couple, you know, a couple of times. But in reality, it's extremely hard to put something into space, for one, and two, successfully navigate it to like the moon, or, you know, even another planet one day. But yeah. They lost complete control of it, because the plan was is that this probe was going to land on the surface, and then there was a rover that they had in there. So not only was it just like a probe, it was a super expensive rover. I mean, we were talking millions and millions, maybe even billions of dollars they put into this thing.
That sucks.
And they have no idea. As of today, like this happened, I think yesterday or the day before, and they still have no contact with this thing at all.
Oh, man.
Which is just
what
sucks.
A disappointment.
Yeah. And I mean, there's
that could have been really cool. Who knows what it could be?
I mean, there
up.
Might even be people's jobs on the line here, you know, like maybe somebody messed up, or, you know,
maybe. I mean,
because it went off like the path of like the last second. It just veered off like the actual what the proposed plan or the planned location for the landing was. So, yeah, that really sucks for them, because recently, too, in April, Israel tried to land on the moon. Remember?
Oh,
and
right.
It crashed. They didn't make it. It was unsuccessful. So
at least this was a little better than that.
Yeah, they got like 90-95% of the way there, but they haven't, you know, completed the mission.
Cause it's so hard. God. And it's just to the moon. It's just to our closest, like, thing.
Planetary body. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to think that we're like, we are like, oh, we're going to go to Mars and things like that, or go beyond into the
It doesn't
solar
sound
system,
as hard
like,
as it clearly is to do.
Oh, yeah.
But doesn't it make you like seeing how hard it is for them to do? Like, it makes you wonder how we were able to do it like so easily on the first try
and
the
multiple
60s.
Times. And then why haven't we gone back if it was that easy?
Yeah. And I'm
expensive.
Not saying it was faked. We have no idea.
No. And I mean, people say, you know,
I don't think it was faked.
Official reasons, because it's just expensive.
It is interesting to think about it. Yeah.
It is. If we never went in the first place. But
yeah. Well, I mean, it was pretty easy for them, and they live streamed the whole thing. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, that's
it was
a whole
like the
other
60s
thing.
Too. I don't know. It's just wild to me.
It is wild, and yet we lost. How does that even work? You know, like we live stream, you know, like Neil Armstrong on the moon, but yet like these guys in 2019 can't even like maintain like just communication with the damn thing.
I know,
it's like,
and what I know it sounds kind
of
like, weird.
What the hell, man? What's going on? So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, as of right now. No communication, and it could have crashed. It might have landed successfully, and they just can't talk to it. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens with that. The next story, though, is pretty, I don't know. This kind of came out of left field. I didn't really see this coming, but it makes a lot of sense, really, that they're doing this. But essentially, a criminal complaint was filed in Los Angeles federal court on September 4th. A 28-year-old Hollywood Hills man named Cameron James, I believe his last name is Petit. Is how you pronounce that?
Maybe it's Petit. Who knows?
Petit. Whatever. Piece of shit should be what his last name is. No, but basically the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, went after him because he allegedly sold Mac Miller, the rapper, drugs that were laced with fentanyl. Mm-hmm. That led to his death, essentially. So they're holding him accountable for his death and charging him accordingly. Which this is something that they've started doing in recent years because of the fentanyl crisis in America, because it's like killing so many people.
It's so horrible.
It's so potent and just dangerous.
Yeah, Janelle was telling us earlier, she's heard of cases where police officers just smell it or inhale it and have gotten injured or even died.
Yeah, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like 100 times more powerful than morphine.
Isn't it like a horse tranquilizer, or am I just completely wrong about that?
Yeah.
Isn't it some type of tranquilizer? It can be used
for that, yeah. I mean, it's...
It's intense.
There's
stuff.
A reason why they like put it on Percocets and things like that, because it has the similar effect.
But this is good to see like some accountability on a big case like this for Mac Miller, you know?
Right.
Because a lot of people will see this and, you know, maybe people will be more careful with what they're dealing out.
I mean, if you're going to deal drugs, you better be dealing responsibly, you know? And obviously that doesn't happen usually. But
it makes sense now, though, because remember we talked about it when it originally happened, when Mac died on the podcast. I remember we doing it as one of our intro topics, and we were like kind of confused about how exactly, but this makes so much sense.
No, it absolutely does. So Cameron is in jail, being held without a bond, awaiting his trial, and he's facing up to 20 years for distribution of a controlled substance.
They're cracking down on that.
Drug trafficking charge, yeah. Well, that's what the DEA is saying, is they're like, we're going to come after everybody that's dealing any sort of like, well, drugs in general, but especially drugs laced with fentanyl, because, you know,
it's just so deadly.
Fentanyl mixed with anything else is just a deadly concoction, which is how Mac Miller died. But what's interesting, though, is that through this investigation, they have obtained text messages through search warrants and things like that. And, you know, they've released like messages between Mac Miller and him the day before he actually got these pills that ultimately led to his death. And he ordered them up and stuff. And I mean, he was doing pretty much every drug in the book, but
And drinking too.
But the Cameron claims he had no idea that they were laced when he sold them to him. So he's like, I'm not guilty of this because I didn't know, you know, like, which maybe he didn't know.
Yeah. And at the same time, I do kind of feel for him in a way, like 20 years is a long time, and it could have been a big mistake. Like he could have gotten it from someone else, not knowing.
And he could potentially go away for that long because he actually does have prior drug charges already. So
I feel like 20 years is kind of excessive
for drugs.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the death.
But now
you're
looking at it almost as a murder case.
Mac Miller probably wouldn't have died if he had taken pills that weren't laced with fentanyl. That's essentially what the story is here. Is that,
no, I mean, it makes sense. It does. It's a lot. 20 years, that's a lot.
But this is interesting because this kind of makes you might think a little bit differently about Cameron. So in Instagram messages obtained by the DEA, Cameron clearly voices feelings of guilt for what happened to Miller.
Really?
But he had no admission that he realized the drugs were counterfeit.
So he knew. Oh.
He quote unquote said, I think horrible. I should probably not post anything just to be smart.
Oh, I see.
Quote unquote, I'm going to get off the grid, move to another country. This was right after Mac Miller died. I am not
my
great.
Gosh.
Most
so he
likely
totally
I will
knew.
Die in jail, he wrote in another.
Oh,
so
yeah, dude.
So that just shows you that he could have known that these were not.
Wow.
That this could have happened. And that's what they're alluding to.
Geez, he could like, technically you could argue that he could have poisoned him almost, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it makes sense.
Wow.
So yeah, the federal government's cracking down on this, and I think he's going to end up going away for a long time for this.
Damn.
But rightfully so, man. I mean,
yeah. No, definitely.
Drug dealer or not, you know,
yeah.
Whether
no, I was questioning the amount of time. Is 20 years fair? I don't know. I think some sentences are a bit much. I think that he needs to do time for sure. But I think you can learn a lesson in a shorter time than 20 years personally.
Well, yeah. And I mean, God, like lately I've been watching so many jail shows, you know, all the different reality shows on prison these days. Mm-hmm. And like, prison is just such a horrible place that it just ruins people. It's not rehabilitating anybody.
No.
And
that's true.
For people that do, you know, go to prison for drugs, they're usually put in with a bunch of other people that have done a bunch of other crazier things, which ends up just, you know, in the end, fucking up even more than when you went in. So,
and there's hella drugs.
And
in
there's
jail,
drugs. Yeah.
So.
That's the big thing too. It's not a drug free zone in prison at all. So
no, it's not,
you know, is that really the right way to go? Is there another way for him to repay, you know, this debt that he has? So,
I mean, this is really good. This is definitely good to see on a large scale someone go down for this, because people need to understand how serious it is.
Sets an example, like.
Yeah, it's just definitely sets a big example on a public stage.
Especially poisonous drugs, essentially. Mm-hmm. Toxic drugs that will kill you. you're going to go to prison for it. You're going to get caught. And
so wild.
So, I mean, that's the good thing to that, I guess, is that they're really cracking down on that. But
okay, this next story, we really wanted to talk about this.
I'm sure all of you have heard this because
it actually was everywhere this week, but I still wanted to talk about it.
It's so ridiculous.
We heard about it before the mainstream got their hands on it, and then I was like bummed out because like everyone started reporting
on it.
It
was on all the late shows and stuff.
Yeah, it was on, I think, all three late shows. I don't even know if Kimmel's on yet, but it was on like The View and
Colbert talks about it. ABC,
yeah. But there is a Catholic school that has decided to now in 2019, folks, ban Harry Potter because they cited there is a risk of conjuring evil spirits with real magic. Mm-hmm. Their concern is that if the books are read out loud, that there's actual real spells inside and that it could possibly possess students in the school.
Yeah. Which
what
I mean,
do you think?
Which I mean, on the flip side, I mean, it is a Catholic school. So I do sort of understand like him thinking that, because apparently this reverend, it's a pastor at the school, he apparently what makes you just like one day decide, oh, you know, let's ban Harry Potter.
Yeah, I feel like he's a little late to the game.
Yeah, or just like a little paranoid maybe or something. And apparently he reached out to exorcists in Rome even, in the United States, and apparently they agreed with him that children should not be reading Harry Potter books because of the
spells,
ability to become possessed. Or
so when they say like blah 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 trosa.
Well, yeah.
What do they say in the Harry Potter movies? Like something
leviosa. I know expecto patronus.
Oh, there's
is the
so
one
many people are like screaming at their thing, like you idiots.
I know the
know
killing
nothing.
Spell. Avada Kedavra or whatever. Avada, I think it's like Avada Kedavra.
Oh, isn't that what he uses on like?
That's like when Voldemort's like, yeah. Or the Death Eaters. I'm kind of a Harry Potter fan. I can't tell.
Kind of.
Yeah. But no, but the other part of this too is not just that they could conjure spirits and stuff, but just, and this is what happened in the past too, is that it glorifies witchcraft and the occult and magic and stuff is
evil. They don't
evil
like anything related to like
be,
pagan or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which this was, remember like when Harry Potter first came out, this was like a huge thing. I mean, maybe you didn't hear about it because you weren't religious in the religious community, but like.
I was just young, so I probably wasn't.
Pastors everywhere were like, do not let your kids read.
Really?
Yeah, it was a big deal, man.
So why is he just reigniting this now?
I don't know. That's what's weird about it.
Is this the first time they've like banned it from a school or
maybe
something?
Maybe they've had some possessions at their school or something.
Doubt it.
Which I don't understand. It's not like Harry Potter is that dark even. It's not like
it's
there's some crazy shit
book.
Happening in it.
Settle down. It's like a mother
they're like
wrote
levitating
them.
Shit and like riding broomsticks around. Like, come on. This isn't that crazy.
I know. It's so funny though.
Yeah.
I love seeing what an issue to really, you know, put your foot down about Harry Potter books. Really picking the hard issues out there. Good job, sir.
Can you imagine being that kid at the school that's like halfway through the series and then he comes back to school and he goes to get like the Goblet of Fire and it's not there.
Yeah.
He's like, fuck.
And his mom's
his
like, we read the emails. We know. We know all about Harry Potter. You cannot have those.
So he just can't finish the story. That sucks.
It's like, damn, he'll never know what happened.
Yeah.
Well, let's all pray for those kids. And let's move on to our first sponsors for today.
As most of us have found out the hard way, including myself, getting into debt is easy, but getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Sky-high interest rates can make it incredibly hard for you to break out of that revolving debt cycle. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt, which I know for me personally, if I had known about Upstart a few years ago when I was still digging myself out of credit card debt, I would have most definitely went and gotten an Upstart loan because of that smarter interest rate. Because if you don't have great credit, then you get slammed with very high interest rates, which may even put you into debt more than you already are. What's great about Upstart is they go beyond your traditional FICO score or credit score when assessing your actual credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate, which is great. So they don't ding you on the credit part of the application. Upstart believes you're more than just a credit score. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. The best part is that once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the very next business day, the next day, which is great. Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, fund their wedding, or to make a large purchase. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/milehigher to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and it won't affect your credit, which is the best part. That's upstart.com/milehigher.
So if you follow me on any of my social media, you know that I love to take a bath pretty much every night before bed. And one of my favorite things to do when I take this bath is use a calm meditation, one that is focused on sleep, because I know as soon as I get out, I'm going to get in my nice warm bed and drift off to dreamland. What I have realized since I've started having a bunch of health issues related to my autoimmune disease and whatever else is going on, sleep is one of the most vital things that you can give your body. I notice a huge difference if I don't get at least 8 hours-ish of sleep. It can affect your cognitive functions during the day, how you're feeling overall. Sleep is one of the most vital things in your life. And that's why we have partnered with my all-time favorite app, Calm. This is the number one app for sleep. I use Calm not only for sleep, but for meditation in general. Whenever I need a moment of peace or I need to just center my brain, it's very hard to meditate. And Calm has a bunch of guided meditations that can help you learn how to actually do the practice of meditation, because it's very hard to completely clear your brain. But they don't only offer meditation, they also offer a variety of tools to help you sleep. They have soundscapes and over 100 different sleep stories narrated by different soothing voices, so you can find one that you like. So if you want to seize your day, make sure you get your Z's at night with the Calm app. Right now, Mile Higher listeners can get 25% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/milehigher. That's calm.com/milehigher. 40 million people have already downloaded the Calm app. Find out why at calm.com/milehigher.
All right, let's get in to the secrets of the Bohemian Grove. First thing I want to say, though, is just that there is a lot of bullshit surrounding this topic, unfortunately. It can be very hard to find the truth about what's actually happening there. But I think we've done a decent job of getting the facts around, like, what is going on there, as well as, like, obviously, what's the theories about it, you know, what's the conspiracies about it, because that's a huge part of this topic as well. But, you know, pretty much everything in here is factual for the most part.
Yeah. So. There's a lot of stuff, though, that's reported on wrong, or it's just reported with a bias, or
it's not like people, based on anything. I went there, I saw this. It's
baseless claims, yeah.
Yeah.
So, hearsay. Yeah. There's a documentary, too. The top documentary on it, which is probably is the only documentary on it, right? Is the one...
I mean, there's like little... There's nothing like really professional, because it's complete secrecy, right? There's this thing's completely secret, so you're not allowed to record it. That's the whole point.
Yeah, it's a very secret
thing. So there's no documentaries about it other than people who have busted through and like into it. Yeah, exactly. And recorded what they saw, which, you know, we'll talk about
a long time ago.
Yeah.
When Alex Jones was a young man, he broke in there and made a documentary out of it.
He did.
And it was an interesting documentary. I got to give it to him. It was pretty interesting, but there was some major bullshit in it. Like there was some stuff that was just
wrong,
incorrect reporting. Yeah. Like we were just fact checking as we go. We were like, no, this is not right. This is not right. But he did get some interesting undercover footage.
Yeah. That's completely authentic, which we'll show you.
It's definitely. Of what there was some interesting stuff in it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get into all the really juicy stuff, let's talk a little bit about like what Bohemian Grove is. Like if you've never heard of this before, you're probably like, what the hell are you talking about? So essentially what Bohemian Grove is that it's essentially like a retreat for the wealthy and the powerful men of the United States. And it happens every June or July for 2 weeks. It's a 2 weeks like get together.
Boy Scout camp for rich guys.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. It's like a summer
literally
camp.
Boy Scouts though, because it is men only, literally. Only men are allowed.
Yes. They're only allowed, as far as like the guests and members of this Bohemian Club is what it's actually called. That this group, the secret society, is really what it is. Mm-hmm. Much like the Freemasons or, you know, other things like that.
So a lot of these people that are in these clubs are in multiple clubs. They're in the Freemasons.
No. Well, I don't think you can be in multiple ones. Really? But, well, actually, no. I'm sorry. That's incorrect. I just remembered George Bush. The Bush family is in Skull and Bones too.
I was gonna say they're in multiple things.
Yes, it's Skull and Bones. So, you can be in multiple, which is even weirder.
But the Bushes are in this.
But this is more of like it's a membership club. But I don't know if they really do.
Elite and rich.
It's kind of the way that I've kind of like come to know it as is this almost like country club type situation. It's like a country club camp
for the rich. It's like the richest, biggest country club. It's like a world country club.
Right. You know how like the UN comes together? This is like their version of it, except it's like a fucking
off the books type of
crazy get together that happens at Bohemian Grove in Sonoma County, California, actually. And the area that they go to is in California, they have redwoods, which if you've never been to the redwood forest in California, it's absolutely beautiful. I went when I was really young.
Isn't that
Gulfstream waters?
Yep.
This land was made for you.
Exactly. And, it's part of America. It's one of our most beautiful areas. So of course they're like, yo, let's make our little hangout, our little camping trip in there.
In this beautiful forest.
Yep.
And the person that owns it, it's actually private property. That's why they're able to like keep the public out of it. It's 2,700 acres. That's a lot of land that they have.
That's huge.
And you know, some of the locals are upset because it's a lot of land that could be used for everybody.
Yeah.
And why does the 1% or the elites get to control all of this land and keep it from everybody else?
Yeah, there's a ton of protest actually in this area. The locals go out and they protest it every year when the Bohemian Grove event happens.
Stand outside and
And demand. They can't get in. There's like major security, which we'll talk about. But
yeah, exactly. So they have this giant campground, essentially, is what it is. And they have all these different grounds within it. It's this giant facility, pretty much, that they built in there. And
it's
all
really
these,
private behind all those trees. Yeah, I mean, it's
a perfect place to have a secret hangout.
Exactly.
You know?
His, like, you know,
you can't
look
see
into
it.
Trees you can't see so far. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't see it unless you're, like, in the area that they're in. So they have all these campgrounds and they have all these kind of weird names that they've called them, like Mandalay, Los Angeles, Isle of Avenues, and Silverado Squatters, just to name
Silverado Squatters.
It's just like goofy names, I
Mandalay.
Guess is what you could say. But in order to be invited into this Bohemian club or this secret society, you have to be invited directly by the club. So they have to extend the invite to you, or you can come to the Bohemian Grove.
I can't apply. Well, I'm a woman, so I definitely couldn't apply.
Definitely not. Otherwise, you come as a guest to the Bohemian Grove, the get together. With somebody else. And apparently the initial joining fee is like $25,000, which doesn't seem like that much for how rich a lot of these people are.
Yeah, for them, that's like a drop in the bucket. Right. Yeah, they're like, whatever.
I mean, that's a lot to any of us.
Yeah,
like,
that's a lot.
I would never pay $25,000 and join any club. Like,
but we've seen, there's like clubs in New York. Remember there was, God, I can't remember what we saw. I think we saw it on Vice, but it was on that show with, on Viceland.
Yeah.
Who's the rapper? 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz does a show on Viceland and he like goes and tries all these really fancy rich people things. And he joined this like exclusive club in New York and the membership fee to start was like $50,000 or something. It was double this.
Yeah.
So it's really not that much for a really rich club.
Right.
Because all these clubs, clubs have membership fees.
Totally.
I guess once you're just rich enough, you're like, you don't mind being suckered like that. You're like, whatever, I'll pay your membership fee.
Well, it's also like a status thing too. You know, like part of it is, I have actually a personal experience with this a little bit because.
Oh yeah.
My grandpa is actually.
It's a very funny man.
He's a funny guy because it makes so much sense to me now that I'm older and I understand this stuff that he got involved with this. Mm-hmm. So my grandpa is actually a, there's something called the Elks, which is just like a, you know, a club that you join. It's kind of a similar fraternal type situation.
Yeah.
Kind of secretive. They have their little elk lodges everywhere, but it's like a pool hall. They're like drinking beer and hanging out. It's like a socialization type experience. But he also went and joined the Freemasons. Like he went and became a Freemason and he has I think he said he was like a 22nd degree Freemason. So they have like, they have a hierarchy of like order within the Freemasons. And he's like and I started like asking him about it and he doesn't say anything about it. Like he won't talk about the rituals or any of the initiation stuff you have to go into.
It's intense. I went through a sorority. I'm sworn to secrecy.
Yep.
But he's got this
Janelle's
ring
in the same
really
sorority.
Cool.
Yeah, so we know the secret.
Oh, yeah.
We know
that's a great, I was going to say, the sorority or fraternity is same type of situation. I mean, that's what Skull and Bones is, you know?
Yeah, but there's no cool secrets. Like, we like to be like, oh, yeah, we have, like, secret rituals and, like, secret all these things, but we don't, like, we don't really have anything. I can't say them because I've been, you know, yelled at enough. Do not tell anybody this shit. So I am not going to say anything, but it's really not that interesting. You wouldn't care anyway if you knew.
But at the end of the day, it's like an organization you join so that you can socialize, meet friends, network, right? That's what they pitch it to you as. It's a networking tool to network.
Well, we were also pitched definitely with the sorority thing, like, this will look good on your resume. Yeah. Is that, you know?
Right. Well, that's because the name is well known. Exactly. Yeah. Famous people who have been a part of your organization.
Yeah. Or it can get you a job. Like, that was also what we were pitched. Like, you know, there might be someone else in the field you want to go in, get you connections.
Yeah.
So. I just joined to make friends.
Yeah. We just joined because
I want some friends.
Yeah. We lived in a very small cow town, college town area. Yeah. And we didn't know any. We both, neither of us knew anyone when we went in there.
Well, so. I knew you at least.
Yeah. Well, actually, you didn't know me. But, yeah, no, I knew I would never make friends unless I was forced to engage.
It does feel good to be like a part of a team, you know, whether that's a sports team or a club, or, you know, feeling like you're a part of something that other people aren't necessarily a part of. Like, I think it's like that.
It's an instinctual
sisterhood
thing.
Type of thing. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
It's instinctual if you think about it. Like, you grew up in a family and you want to be a unit. So it makes sense.
It's just
that
now that I'm older, looking back
at
it, like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, you have to pay membership fees, and it's like, so
it's all the political bullshit you got to deal with. Once you get into it, it's like, this isn't just about this. This is about, you know, who's who and who's got the power and who, you know, who's controlling this and whatever, and status and reputation is what it becomes about. Ultimately, it's an egotistical type of thing in a lot of senses.
Yeah.
Know?
In a lot of ways.
For some people. I mean, obviously people are in it for the right reasons and some aren't, but you know, that's essentially what it is.
I made like 5 solid forever friends out of it. So it was a good thing for me, but yeah, it's definitely not for everyone, and you're not missing out on anything if you didn't do it.
Well, yeah. Cause I mean, you're sworn to secrecy, right? Yeah. And you have to, you know, you got to maintain that. And
well, ours is a lot less intense than this. Like,
oh my God,
people aren't like coming after you if you spill the sorority secrets.
Oh,
like,
no. Yeah. Well, yeah, your life's not on. What are they going to do to me now?
No.
Charge me a fee or something?
Well, now you can just Google it.
Yeah.
Much,
like. But I'm not going to do that because you guys don't care. That's why. And you trust me, that's nothing good.
Well, and, you know, keep it special for the people that are interested, you know?
Yeah.
I bet we have some Sigma Kappas out there actually listening, maybe, or some other.
Yeah, shout out to
Greek
any Sigma
people.
Kappas or any Greek people.
I, like, honestly kind of hate myself.
I mean, as somebody that didn't participate in that, it does intrigue me a little bit.
I just hate, like, being like, oh, yeah, we were part of this, like, this little club. Like, I don't know. I always feel bad because I know.
But you don't feel bad when people are a part of, like, a team or
a sports
club.
Team or something.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I mean,
I guess.
You pay dues to be a part of that as well.
Yeah, and I guess you do have to try out for that as well, too. No, that's a good point. That's
you
a good point.
You absolutely do.
And all sororities are different. Yeah. Some do more than others, and, you know, some are lame, some are good.
I mean, at that time in my life, it was, like, perfect, but.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a good example to kind of to help put into perspective, like, these different clubs and societies, and this is kind of the same way. And just
it's kind of weird, though. It's just strange having secrets and stuff.
The secrecy thing is weird, and that's what people are protesting about, is the fact that there's complete secrecy about what they're doing, what the people discuss. Cause, like, as you know, I'm about to tell you, there's, like, the people that go there are, like, really, really well-known famous individuals that have a lot of impact on the planet. Mm-hmm. So obviously people are like, what the hell are these people doing there? So that's why they're protesting. They want transparency. Like, they should release what they're doing.
Yeah.
They should be they're public. They work for the public outside of the club.
Yeah.
So why the hell is it just because they're in this club,
because
they can shut us all out?
Yeah. Like, it's not like they don't do anything there, which that's what they claim. They claim that
it's for fun.
It's
for
totally
fun.
For fun. There's some quote that they use. I'm forgetting what
it
was. We'll get
on,
to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but just before we move on to the members, I just want to say the wait list for the club is apparently 20 to 30 years. And obviously no cell phones are allowed. And
20 to 30 years.
How does that even work? Like, you got to, like, prove yourself till you're like 40 and then the old geezers let you in. Like,
that's
how does
insane.
That work? Yeah. It's kind of wild, but I think most of the members are, like, by association and family members and things like that.
Do you think it's possible that, like, dads will bring in like their son when yeah, they're like at a certain age to like start kind of going through the steps to become. Yep. So by the time it is 20 or 30 years, you're like ready to go.
Yeah. Maybe that's honestly, I bet that's what it is.
That's interesting.
So you can bring in, apparently you can bring in women and children, but they have to leave at night. As soon as like the sun goes down, they all leave because that's when the shit goes down.
That's kind of
sketchy. Isn't like it makes me think they're doing some like sketch shit they don't want their wives to know about.
They're going wild, man. It's like it's, you know, elite gone wild at night. Like that's what it is.
What? That is such a weird rule.
Yeah. So all the women go.
Kick your wife out by night.
And then they even like inside of the Bohemian Grove area, so if you think about this setup, it's literally like a summer camp. They've got the dining hall. They got like a little place for, you know, this activity. Or like they got all the different cabins and bungalows or whatever.
Yeah, they all have little names. It's totally like a campsite.
Exactly a campground. Yeah.
It's like girls, boys. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So they have like, they actually have workers there that are employed by the club to work the dining hall and cook and clean and all that and everything. Mm. Housekeeping and everything. Servers and... they allow women to be hired. They didn't for a long time, but eventually they did. But they like drew a line. They're like, you cannot cross this line. Yeah,
they were getting a lot of shit for it too. They like that. They were not wanting to do that. That took a lot for them to finally decide. Yeah. And then what did they give them? Just jobs in valet and the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. So they're still not allowed to like be in a lot of different areas.
No, you don't get an important job.
Or,
no.
Yeah, exactly.
And why would you want to work there? Come on. Yeah. Like, who's like, of all the places, as a woman, I want to work for the Bohemian
Grove. That's what
Grove.
I was just about to ask you. Is it random people who are like applying
it's locals.
For this?
It's locals.
So it's not like, oh, Hillary Clinton's working in the kitchen this time.
No, it's not elite.
She's got
no,
like
they have like average.
Hairnet on. Like.
They have like, you know, average. Sorry,
get on
like
the
us. Yep.
You got sloppy joes tonight, everybody. I heard you like them extra sloppy.
Extra sloppy.
Extra slump. If you've seen that movie,
hilarious.
You'll get that. But let's talk about the people here because this is just where it starts blowing your mind. So, this secret retreat, people obviously, because of the people that go there, people are questioning the motives and speculating about what they're actually doing there because literally the memberships lists include every Republican president since 1923, as well as some Democrats. Many cabinet officials and CEOs of large corporations, including the major financial institutions, military contractors, oil companies, banks, including the Federal Reserve, surprise, surprise, and national media, as well as artists, actors, musicians are also invited as well. They got to get the fun folks in there too. You got all like the stiff folks and then you got, they invite all of these. They love musicians apparently. If you want an invite, if you're a great musician, they'll invite you. Like I bet they, John Mayer could good go there. Listen to this, Janelle.
Really?
What?
Mickey Hart has been to Bohemian Grove.
No, don't tell me that.
Yes, yes. I was like, no way. Of course he did.
What?
Yeah, like tons of musicians, well-known actors have gone
Bing
to Bohemian
Crosby,
Grove.
Mark Twain.
Also were there at one time. So tons of people go there, like more than I think we even realized, because it's like 2,000 people that go this every year.
Well, let's slow down for a second and think about this. Think of how many important players on a world stage attend this. We have military contractors, oil companies, banks, national media, and then all of these CEOs of large corporations that control pretty much everything, cabinet officials, and then we have politicians, pretty much every president, at least the Republican side, pretty much all of them, and then a lot of Democrats too. That's pretty much everyone. Am I missing someone?
No, and I mean...
maybe the Pope should have been there.
Yeah. I
mean, but like, seriously, this is clearly something important happens here. These people aren't just all getting together because they are buddies.
But that's not what people say. The somebody that actually was a former member has been quoted as saying the overriding agenda is to get so wasted every day that any reasonable person would immediately call 911 to get help.
What?
That's literally what a former member said. It's just a literally it's like just a safe haven for all these people to be out of because there's no recording there. So these guys, because all these guys can't go out to like bars and clubs and like have huge parties like in public. So this is like a private event. It's like a formal, a wild formal for them to all go to and get fucked up and just like act crazy and do wild shit there.
That's insane.
And former members are saying that that's the case. So, yeah.
But they play it off if it's just like crazy boys night, crazy weekend for the boys.
Yeah, literally.
Bohemian Grove is for the boys.
Yeah. Full send.
Full send.
No, honestly, like It's definitely that type of atmosphere.
I wonder if anyone chugs there, like Steve will do it.
They bring Steve.
Just double fist.
What if George Bush can do that? He's like, bitch, holy watch shit. This. Chugs a handle of vodka. I wouldn't even want to know. Actually, I've heard George Bush was a crazy frat boy.
I've heard that too.
He was apparently like, what's going on here?
No, yeah, we're good. Right. Just got a little dark in here.
Oh, okay. No, I don't like this. I don't like this. This just ruined my whole
it's
vibe.
Fine. It's good. It's perfect, actually.
No, I hate it.
It'll be better for the video.
Yeah, it's better for our space background.
Is
your
it
space
so?
Background.
Okay, fine. All right, fine. Anyway.
But literally the mainstream is like, says that this is just a giant team building exercise. That's how they like say, that's the official like word for what it is pretty much.
Team building.
It's team building.
Team building as in controlling
the
world. All right,
team, how do we control these peasants?
I'm sorry.
I mean,
maybe not every single person there is in on.
Yeah, I think
everything.
Mickey's in on the new world order.
I don't know if you people know, but Mickey is part of the Grateful Dead, and that's why Josh keeps talking about it because I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah,
but
I thought it was funny too that
it's
of
really
all people,
weird.
Like,
yeah, that's very strange
that he would be there like with presidents and things like that.
That just
like,
makes me wonder, like, what the
hell? Well, it so if you
many
think, yeah,
walks of life, so many different backgrounds. It's not like
totally.
Well,
just
if this
politics
is just a normal thing and it's just a big party, why are they so weird about it? Why is there all this security?
Yeah,
why
totally.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
strange.
Mm-hmm.
There's no media coverage on it too, which
no.
is so weird.
No,
it's because the media is there.
Yeah, it's because
they
don't
want
to be filmed there,
no.
obviously, because people will be like, what the hell?
Yeah, dude. I mean, don't tell me. They probably do get fucked up. They probably do party and stuff there, but they also probably do some wheeling and dealing behind the scenes. They have meetings, very important meetings.
Examples.
It's a safe, private place for them to meet about important things.
And off the record is the main
right,
point
and it's
of
off
this.
Off the record.
Off the record, so they can actually probably do the negotiating, say
yeah.
the things they want to say.
They probably do that in the morning,
people.
And then they get fucked up at night.
Full send at night, and then they do politics in the day. Like, that's
yeah.
what they do. But that's the thing, is they absolutely deny that there's any business going on there and that this is all just like a back-to-nature retreat for the elite.
Okay.
So, all right, let's talk about where this all started, because this is really interesting as well. So, this club, the Bohemian Club, is over 150 years old. It was literally founded after the Civil War. Mm-hmm. It's that old. And that's what's interesting too about all these clubs and sororities and fraternities, how far back they go, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't like your sorority go back to the 1800s even?
Yeah.
Like it goes
yeah.
back really far.
I think it's 18.
What
right?
is going yeah. on in the 1800s that everybody's like, let's start all these secret groups and stuff?
Maybe like, it was just like a thing to do back then.
No, I don't think so. I think no? there is a, I think there's like more, I think there's something else at play as far as like getting people to organize into these clubs and things like that. Because if you look even farther back, like if you look at the Illuminati, mm-hmm. The society, secret society of the Illuminati that actually existed was way back, like 100, like over
yeah.
100, 200, 300 years ago.
He was like 500.
Yeah, I think it was like
right.
1500 when it
long,
first started.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
So these secret societies have been around for a really, really long time and, you know, came over to the United States when it was starting to be colonized, which makes sense because literally the 1800s was right before the Industrial Revolution and kind of when, you know, civilization moved into modern times or started moving in that direction.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that all these groups of people got together and created these clubs and secret societies as things are starting to unfold. So
sorry, I have to say something real fast. Janelle's playing with beads. Can hear them in the mic.
You can hear them?
Yes.
Oh, fuck, sorry.
Oh, no, you're all good. But if you've heard this like little like frizzly, like sizzle sound, can you hear it?
I heard
it's kind of like
bit.
Sounds like
faint.
Static, but it's
really?
Janelle's beads.
Oh.
She's playing with my anxiety beads.
Yeah,
they're like magnetic
beads.
These
are really doing it for me right
I
now.
Anxiety. No, you're good. You were just every time you hold them up near the mic when you're like
do they
looking
make
at
a...
them. Yeah. No, when you move them, though, they kind of make a sound. Yeah, I can hear that.
A little
you guys
bit.
Hear that?
It's like a tap.
Sorry,
tiny
guys.
Tap.
This
like
is actually
some ASMR over
this
here.
This is like mind blowing to me. So I'm just over here trying to like.
I know.
It's crazy.
No, I just wanted to.
Well, when you hear this
lower.
Shit for the first time, you're like, what the
yeah.
hell is going on here? Like,
I know. So sorry to interrupt you.
No,
just
you're
just know
you're
that
good.
Like it's probably picking up the sounds.
Yeah, somebody's, right, okay.
you know, I started
somebody...
hearing it. I was like, wait, is there static in the headphones?
Oh, shoot.
Right, okay, I was like,
well,
no,
I
you're
apologize,
good. I think it was only going on for a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, all right.
So this club is old as shit. It was started in 1872 in San Francisco by Henry Harry Edwards. And since 1878, they've been going to Bohemian Grove every summer. So this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
Bohemian Grove is not nothing new.
No.
And sort of like the idea of when they created it was where bohemian artists, which like, why is bohemian in here? Like, cause that doesn't mean anything evil or anything like, yeah. you know, that's just kind of like, you know, a style per se.
Yeah,
I don't know what the right word to say,
but, style,
but it was just a camp.
I don't know
where,
if it's always
like,
meant that though.
Bohemian writers and artists would go to relax and just kind of get away from the world. And, you know, as far as we know, and just hang out essentially. And kind of over time it's evolved. And they kind of built it up more. Obviously it was just like very basic back then. I mean, I'm sure it was nothing crazy. But over time it's
way
been
less
built
members
up.
And yeah, it's probably grown so much.
Cause like a former member has quote unquote said that it's very rustic. Oh, surprise. And there are scores of camps within the Grove, each with 20 to 50 people. Each camp is unique and has a different cabin or clubhouse. They're all along a main dirt road. They burn firewood to stay warm and generally just host people from other camps or go visit people at the other camps and provide entertainment.
Interesting. How strange.
It's literally like the way that this sounds is just like a kid's summer camp.
Literally like a rich person's summer camp. Like but like obviously this is the information that they've put out. For the most part, like I'm sure
this is the image
out,
they want. I'm sure.
Yeah, this is what they want us to think it all is.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part it is, but then they also do a lot of meetings. I think it's also just a main way for them to meet up, you know, get all these big people in the same place at the same time every year. It's just
well,
like another
it's interesting
way, but less
like,
formal.
Well, I think also I
and
think,
they can mingle too and like drink together and get to know each other on a more laid back scale to do business. Evil
that's
business,
so
you know.
Well, I think for a long time, like 1872, I mean, there wasn't that much going on like politically back then.
Yeah.
So I think originally this was really just like kind of a bohemian, like back to nature type place for people that were into that, and newspaper writers that adopted this type of bohemian lifestyle.
I mean,
but
I
then over
could,
time,
yeah,
it expanded into
so much,
all these crazy elite people going there, and mostly, you know, all of them being men. And white for the most part, which I haven't seen any pictures of any black members. I don't know of any names of any black members.
I didn't
see
anyone. And there's a picture of like all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anyone.
Yeah.
Did Obama go to these?
No.
No.
There. So what's interesting is that I don't know how this happens, but the lists get leaked on who goes to these things somehow, which I don't know if they're authentic or not, but I look through the 2018 one. There's no Obama in there or anything like that.
Yeah.
Nobody. And that's the thing too, is it's not like as crazy as you would think. Like it's not like Bill Clinton was in there. Or like,
do you think Trump's there?
I don't know. I don't know if he's ever been there.
Was he listed on one of those lists?
Well,
yeah,
we don't have
like, we
all
don't know
of them.
If it's
we don't
official.
Have all
it's
of
like,
them either.
It's leaks.
We only have like 2018. I think they have like 2008. They only have them like every now and then they get a hold, which I don't even know if they're real. Like, let's be real. Like, I don't know if they're real.
Yeah, that's true.
But we do know from like the past that like George H.W. Bush was there.
Yeah,
George
we know
Bush
a lot
Senior,
of the main people that we mentioned were there.
Former CIA directors.
There's pictures.
Yeah, there's literally pictures of them that have been come out from Bohemian Grove from people that have snuck in there and taken pictures and things like that. Henry Kissinger.
Yeah.
General Colin Powell, David Rockefeller, Donald Rumsfeld, George Shultz, and Ken Starr. So just a bunch of really... you know, influential people that have power in politics,
powerful,
and military,
elite, rich people.
Mm-hmm. And so they all go to this place.
Well, I mean, gosh, that with the amount of money and control that all of those groups have, all of those interests that we mentioned, all of those politicians, they can make or break the world. You know, they can make huge decisions. So
especially
I feel like they get together to talk about what's going to happen in the world or what they're going to do next or moves they're gonna make.
Well, you'd have to think like, why else would you get together? Like, is it really just to get all fucked up together? Like, come on.
Yeah.
They're Does busy. They're very busy. Like 2 weeks.
Yeah, two
to dedicate 2 weeks of their busy ass life.
Boy Scout camp. That doesn't make any sense.
Why? Come on. Like, you need 2 weeks off the record to just fucking take a break. They already go on vacations. They already have vacations.
And if they're
houses.
Just taking a break and hanging out, what's up with the like ridiculous security guards? Like they act like. The security is like it's Area 51 or something.
Yeah, they have it
not
locked.
Quite that extreme,
I mean,
but it's pretty intense. Like you can't get in there.
They have because of the people that go there, they have Secret Service there. There's like Men in Black rolling around. There's,
yeah, because like imagine if there was like a bomb or something.
Yeah,
or,
totally.
You know, God, that many people taken out, like important people in the world, would be crazy.
Mm-hmm. Is it in the exact same spot every year? Do they like set it up slightly different so that people aren't like, you know, flying drones over it and stuff?
It's in the same spot. Same spot,
same stages. They might, they use the same things.
They use the same places, but I don't think their location's like ever been revealed. Like, I don't know if anybody knows exactly
where it is.
Unless, well, I guess Alex Jones found it.
So. No, they do know exactly where it is. They just, it's a huge area.
No, it's
area.
A campground. Yeah, duh.
It's an, it's owned by, it's a privately owned campground.
Okay. So it's private property.
Yes, it's private property. Yep.
Wow. But still, here's what it is. We know the location, we know the camp, but we don't know when the actual retreat is.
Yeah, and we don't know where exactly within it. So I guess someone could like fly a drone around, but it's protected by the trees. That's why they're there. And it's in the summer every year. So it's when the trees are big and fluffy and
completely covered.
You can't see through it.
You can't see it from the air.
Yeah, so that's why they do it there. It makes sense. The trees give them so much privacy.
Totally.
Hey, we know that. Trees give you a lot of privacy. We just bought a house with a fuck ton of trees, and we have a ton of privacy now. Yeah.
And redwoods are enormous trees, too. Yeah. These are, like, monstrous trees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, really tall.
Do you think people from other countries are there? Like, no. Other elites?
No.
Other
yeah, that's so what I was saying. That, like, there's not, like, the Saudi royalty and that kind of stuff.
Event is called Bilderberg.
Right.
The Bilderberg meeting is the international, essentially Bohemian Grove in a sense. Like, that's where everybody gets together from around the world in secret and meets, usually in Europe somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's Bilderberg. That's a whole nother thing we could talk about. But this is just like United States people, like people that are prevalent and powerful in the United States. What's funny is like we're talking about all how, you know, they're doing business and stuff, but literally the club's motto is weaving spiders come not here.
Yep.
Which basically means that they don't do like, they don't want any business done there or anything like that. It's supposed to be like, get away from all that. Get away from your worries and cares.
They don't do official business. That's why they're not like actually signing contracts or like doing stuff like that, I bet.
As far as we know,
they are meeting and discussing things. It's not like they just don't talk about it at all.
No,
because I mean, when else are they with all these other people that are important,
right?
Off the record, in person, because a lot of they can't talk on the phone. You can't like chat someone up and talk about what you're gonna do for the New World Order over the phone. Like it can,
you know, or if you're doing like
be tapped easily. It's not private. Like they need to meet about serious
in
stuff
in
person,
where there's no chance of anybody like leaking anything.
Perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Bohemian Grove's also been like a really big political networking tool for Republicans, especially.
Yes.
Like, that's what's interesting, too, is it does lean more conservative.
It does.
As far as the people that are invited, which could also be a reason why, you know, why hasn't Bernie Sanders been invited? Or like,
who on the record gave a quote that they said their favorite speech of all time was at, I think it was Nixon.
Yeah.
It was Nixon.
Yeah, I have that in here. Let's see. It is. He did. So in his memoir, Richard Nixon talked about the importance of his membership in the Bohemian Club.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if I were to choose the speech that gave me the most pleasure and satisfaction in my political career, it would be my lakeside speech at the Bohemian Grove in July 1967. Because the speech traditionally was off the record, it received no publicity at the time. But in many important ways, it marked the first milestone on my road to the presidency.
Yeah. Can you imagine what that speech was about, dude? What they have an off the record speech about. It was probably so creepy. If we heard it, we'd be cringing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would love to hear what that speech was about.
Well, and actually what ended up happening with this is after he said this, Reagan actually told him not to run. Like this was when Reagan told Nixon not to run and he was going to go instead. But this was like, he was also considering running, but at this, they like figured out like, no, you're not going to run. I'm going to run.
I'm going to run. And then you can run
and
later.
Then,
And they like made an agreement, like I'll help later on. Or
and there's
whatever,
a picture of them actually together, which is kind of crazy sitting at a table. Like this doesn't show them going wild or any, like during the day, it's a business meeting. They get all dressed.
Look like a crazy drunk frat party right now. No. I'm sure they do it in, you know, in that 2 weeks, they fit it in plenty of time to fuck around.
But you're not going
to
do that all day, all night. So yeah, they have these meetings.
They totally try to cover it as just a big fun party.
Yeah. And at this particular chat, actually, or in 1963, Nelson Rockefeller was there. And he was the picture that, if you're watching, we'll show you, shows Nixon and Ronald Reagan sitting side by side of Nelson Rockefeller as they're talking about, you know, the future for the country and stuff, which is interesting. So I get why people want transparency, especially if they're going to talk politics and things like that. Like, the hell, you know, they're making decisions in there without the public's knowledge, pretty much. And I mean, Gerald Ford was there. He was invited by another Bohemian member, the founder of Firestone Tires, like wow. all these CEOs that are there. The Koch brothers.
Yeah.
Of course,
they're there. I'm sure they were there.
Yeah, tons of people. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There's just tons and tons of people. But this is interesting, actually. Dr. Edward Teller actually reserved the grounds in September 1942. He was a club member, and he actually reserved the grounds because, like, when they're not using it, I guess the members can reserve it for things. Mm-hmm. And this doctor reserved it, and he's actually known as the father of the hydrogen bomb. And literally laid the groundwork for the Manhattan Project there, which is really interesting to think about. And people are like, oh, they didn't actually like, because some people are like, oh, they founded the Manhattan Project in Bohemian Grove.
Yeah.
And like on the flip side, it's like, well, he was the only guy there. So
right.
was he just like in nature thinking about how he's going to destroy, you know, the world? Like, what the hell? He came up with the hydrogen bomb. Like, how do, as a scientist, how do you come up with a bomb that's going to kill mass amounts of people? Like, what is your mindset? And he's in Bohemian Grove, you know?
Yeah, that's really weird.
It's very odd that he would go
that
there.
That doesn't really make sense.
To think about a hydrogen bomb.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
But that's, I guess that's like such a huge world decision that there would be a lot of people to discuss that with.
Right. Well, and I mean, it kind of leans towards the conspiratorial view that there's evil shit happening at Bohemian Grove. And maybe like that's why he's going there. But this is interesting, actually. Just talking about like what their mentality is, what is, you know, what are the members thinking, their kind of mind state. Actually, a political science professor in 1994 said that a lakeside chat was given, and it was entitled Violent Weakness, which focused on how increasing violence in society was weakening our social institutions. So they do these lakeside chats, which is just a thing they do every year. And they have speakers and different types of people, including scientists, professors like this guy, give a speech about something that's kind of pertinent to like the world view. It seems like it's like clearly they're talking about the world and what's happening. Like they're not just like,
100%.
In La La Land all 2 weeks, like at all.
No,
but this is, it goes on. It's really interesting. So the speaker claimed that to avert further deterioration, we need to recognize that the elites based on merit and skill are important to society. Apparently they got loud clapping. And any elite that fails to define itself will fail to survive. We need boundaries and values set and clear. We need an American-centered foreign policy and a president who understands foreign policy. This is interesting to me, especially for the fact that George W. Bush was there.
Yes.
And this is right around the time that all of the wars really started with the Bushes.
Yep.
And it's really interesting that the message of this chat is that we need an American-centered foreign policy. And literally shortly thereafter, we had all these wars where America's inserting itself in all these countries and regime changes and all these things across the world. And literally they're talking about this at Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, I think they definitely plan out some
discussing. And
yeah,
Colin Powell's there, Donald Rumsfeld's there. I mean, later on, but it's like clearly they're talking about war.
Yeah, obviously. Why else would they be there?
Yeah. So I mean, they've got to be doing planning there. But the speaker went on to conclude that we cannot allow the unqualified masses to carry out policy. Unqualified masses. So that is interesting to me because it makes me think that
they don't want
anybody
to vote,
or even politicians that come from our side of the table, like Bernie Sanders, people that are
grass-funded,
you know.
I mean, grass-funded, sorry. Funded with grass.
Grass-fed.
Grass-fed.
Corn-fed politicians.
No, but yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
People that aren't backed by giant corporations, they don't want that.
Right. They want you to be in the club, man. Yep. If you're going to try to run politics, got to get in the club.
Yeah.
And
we
follow the
agenda. We basically be a puppet for elites.
Right. So it's interesting. This can like backs all that up. Mm-hmm. And apparently this speech was forcefully given and was received with an enthusiastic standing ovation by most members.
Wow.
Can you imagine all these powerful people like, yes, we must control. We must keep others out.
Idiots must. Yeah. Wow. Wow, that's scary. The unqualified masses, though.
Yeah.
That's like the people.
Everyone. Yes. But the 1%.
Yeah.
Except for the 1%.
Yeah. Everyone who's not there.
So, like, we cannot allow them to have a voice because we would vote for better things for ourselves and, you know, not in their interest.
They're going to stop us from furthering our control and domination, essentially.
So that's why they force feed us two political candidates.
Yep.
And you have to vote for one. It's so fucking irritating. The system is so messed up.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, how much choice do we really have? We don't have that much choice.
No, we don't.
And how much of it is actually us doing things and actively changing things? Not a lot, it seems. Sometimes it seems like it's kind of predetermined in a lot of ways. Like,
yeah, it really does.
Our elections, the corporations. I mean, we have no control over the corporations or what they do. You know, or the CEOs of those corporations.
And no one even wants to talk about getting money out of it.
Yeah.
It's so insane.
It's crazy. It's like, we have the stock market, and you can buy stock in a company, but that gives you no right to the CEO or what he does or how he conducts himself. It's really crazy to think about. So the bottom line is, like, from this particular chat, it's apparent that the term elite is a self-identifying term for them. Like, they literally refer to themselves as the elites. Like, when we call these people that, that's because that's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what they really are. So
elitists,
you know, so much for your club motto there, guys. Like, you're not just like fucking leaving all the cares behind. And that's the thing, is I think they repeat a lot of these things because of tradition over the years and stuff. But the meaning of Bohemian Grove has changed a lot. But before we get into the extremely interesting ceremonies and rituals that they conduct, we'd like to thank our last sponsors for today. So if you're like me, you're pretty busy. I mean, I never have time to do all the errands that I need to do. And one of those things that I never seem to have time to do is go to the post office, just because of the time it takes to drive there and then wait in line and talk to somebody and finally drop off my packages. And because of the giant hassle of going to the post office and juggling all your packages, hoping not to drop and break anything, that's where Stamps.com comes in. They are one of the most popular time-saving tools for small businesses. Stamps.com eliminates trips to the post office, as well as saving you money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. So why would you go when you can save money and print your postage online? Whether you're a small office or a business like I am, where I'm sending packages to customers as well as, you know, fans, things like that, it can be a lot to juggle. And, you know, I have a ton of packages or Amazon returns, you know, all of us people shopping online these days, you got to ship that stuff back. And instead of having to go there and go through all that hassle, you can print out the postage at a discounted rate, often online on your computer. And right now, our listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. All you got to do is go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and then type in Mile Higher. That's stamps.com. Click on the microphone and enter code Mile Higher to take advantage of that offer.
Everyone wants their home to look and feel great. Luckily, Snow makes it incredibly simple. They create trend-proof, beautiful, functional pieces made for how you live. Snow is a company that makes luxury, high-quality essentials for every room in your home, minus the markup. So you're not paying those high quality luxury prices. They partner directly with master craftsmen to create beautiful, simple products that are made to last, like their incredibly soft award-winning sheets and fluffy duvets, or luxurious air-spun cotton towels and robes. Ooh. They also have super durable dishwasher-safe porcelain dinnerware and wine glasses with titanium enforced stems. What I also love is that they have some of the most amazing sheets you will ever use. They actually sent us some sheets for our bed, and they were extremely soft, extremely cooling. That's the main thing, right? Is I can't sleep at night when the bed feels warm or hot or I'm sweating. So these sheets really cooled everything down. They have a high thread count. They're super breathable and just a joy to sleep in. It's literally the home collection of your dreams, priced for your reality. So again, if you're interested in high quality luxury home items, Snow has got you covered. And right now, Snow is offering our listeners $30 off your first purchase of $150 or more when you go to snowhome.com/milehigher. That's S-N-O-W-E snowhome.com/milehigher to get $30 off your first order. Again, visit snowhome.com/milehigher for your special offer today.
So what do they actually do at Bohemian Grove besides just party and talk politics, and what kinds of activities or ceremonies that happen? Because this is a secret club. It's like a fraternity. They've got rituals and ceremonies. Well, this is probably one of the most interesting parts of this whole shindig.
It's definitely what makes it really weird.
Mm-hmm. And this is where, you know, the conspiracy theories go wild, because it is very odd, and it does have a lot of connections to some dark shit. So at the beginning of every Bohemian Grove event every year since 1880, they kick off their little 2-week thing with something called the Cremation of Care. So this ceremony starts with a parade of men dressed in red hooded robes, some carrying torches. Sounds like another group that I know of. But then there, some of these guys are carrying a wooden box, basically like a coffin, with the effigy of a human body inside. So fake.
This is really fucking weird.
Mm-hmm. And what it is, as far as we know, it's a wooden skeleton named Care. And essentially this procession of robed men walk, you know, winds through the camp until they make their way to the side of a lake, which is watched over by a massive 40-foot tall cement owl.
Yeah, dudes, that's for real. You got to look this up if you're listening. The Bohemian Grove owl. Just Google images it. It's so big and creepy looking.
Yes.
And it seems almost like they worship this owl.
Yeah, I mean, they literally perform a ritual right in front of it, burning this effigy.
And so this is what Alex Jones, when he snuck in there, got footage of.
Yes, which we'll show you in a minute, actually. But basically what they do is they bring this effigy there. They light it on fire. There's a priest there that's like leading this whole ceremony, essentially, or somebody playing a priest, you know, maybe not an actual priest.
Right.
But everybody is like gathered around. Everybody that's attending the event actually is watching this go down. Cause like when you're watching it, it kind of, you know, if you didn't think it was a ritual, you would think it's just a play. Like you're watching a play, like they're dressed up in costumes and they're doing like a,
it almost sounds like a little show that you'd see at like Universal Studios or Disney World or something. Yeah. The way that it's playing.
The owl totally reminds you of something from Disney. I was about to say that. Like, it reminds you of like a giant animatron.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, animatronic thing. Animatron.
Animatron. Oh, wow. Animatronic.
It seems like... It almost seems like one of those rides where you like, it takes you around into these different rooms, you know, like, I forget which one it is, that has that, where the you're like Spider-Man sitting in the little boat thing.
Oh,
it like
it's takes a small you through. World.
Yeah.
Oh,
or like,
yeah.
Ooh, and then creepy. Like all of a sudden you pop in this room and there's happens to be this tall owl and there's like a fire and there's like people in robes sitting there and like, you know, saying weird shit. Because that's literally what it is. The idea is that like Care, the little effigy, gets burned and destroyed because it signifies like leaving all your cares behind and like you're gonna leave the entire rest of the world out of Bohemian Grove and you're just gonna go fucking crazy
interesting
and have a good time pretty much crazy. Yeah, it's like an initiation for the weekend or for the,
but there's a lot of people that think that that skeleton is actually a real person.
Yes,
they actually do burn,
because there's like, I tried to look into this more, but apparently there's like, I think it was in like 94 or something, somebody said that there was somebody that got sacrificed. There's a human sacrifice that took place. And I mean, there was never any proof of it or anything.
It could
but
have at one
it's
point.
Kind of,
I mean,
there's
it's been around
like
a long time.
Former members that have said that they do like child sacrifice there and things like that. And just like weird shit that they cover it by saying it's like a wooden skeleton, but it's actually a, you know, a real human.
Which that's what Alex Jones was saying too, because in the documentary he straight up, when he's filming it, he's like, you can hear them screaming, which I tried to listen to it, I couldn't personally,
but if you
hear
listen
it.
To it, which we'll play in a sec, but like it sounds like a recording, right?
Yeah,
like the talking and the owl talking clearly.
Yeah,
like
it literally,
it says some weird shit, so let's we'll play the clip play real quick.
Fire, so all the winds, victory with thy dust. Hail, fellowship's eternal flame. Once again, midsummer sets us free.
So that is the ceremony, or a bit of it. Essentially they bring Care, light Care on fire with the help of the owl in order to, you know, essentially let everybody release their cares. And it's very ritualistic, and I get why people could think that it's something more than just like a play or some like weird
story. But it
story.
Could be, because there's probably meaning behind all of this that we don't understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we're not a member, so we're not going to fully understand.
And Care, that could be a cover story too. You don't know. Care could stand for something. C-A-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put it past these people. I'm sure they're not just having a nice little play.
Right.
I'm
and like the sure ceremony is to like
pretty creepy.
And I guess they do kind of worship this owl in a sense. Like the owl is their logo, essentially. It's like
they definitely
their
do.
God
they
in
built
a way.
A huge statue. That thing is massive. Look at it compared to the people on the ground.
Yeah, 40 feet tall.
Huge.
Yeah, it almost looks taller than that. It's really tall.
Yeah.
So they do this ceremony every year at the beginning. And what's interesting is that, like, you know, Alex Jones that got the footage of the ceremony, actually, he believes that this owl represents the Canaanite god Moloch, which is associated with child sacrifice in the Bible. It's a biblical deity, essentially. But when you actually go back and look at the Bible, it's a bull. It's not an owl.
Yeah.
So he made that.
That's what we were saying last night. Yeah.
Messed up with that. Or I don't know if he tried to. Yeah. I think. Or he tried to say they're like related, or I don't know.
And then he also tried to say that the Egyptians also worshipped an owl.
Yeah, yeah. Like saying that, well, and that's the whole thing. And I guess that kind of leads us into the angle that especially like somebody like Alex Jones makes is the, you know, very like it's Christians versus Satan versus good versus evil fight.
Yeah.
And these people are evil.
Takes a religious approach to it.
And they're, you know, worshipping these false gods and evil deities, essentially. And, you know, that's why they're doing this thing. And, you know, the whole conspiracy goes down the rabbit hole, obviously, from there, and the New World Order and everything. So,
but I mean, the owl really doesn't, I don't know if we quite understand why they have the owl.
No, we don't.
I'm sure there's a reason. I'm sure there's definitely a simple symbol for it, or it's,
well, if you think about it, like an owl is always watching.
Yes.
It can swivel its head all the way around. So it's almost like a, you know, the all-seeing eye symbol.
Totally.
And the owl kind of makes sense. It's like, it's interesting. There's correlation there.
That actually does make a lot of sense.
Well, and like somebody, another conspiracy theorist, David Icke, he came up with this whole thing that if you look at, like, apparently there's a diagram or something of the campground, and if you draw like really simple lines, there's like natural lines that run through the campground that look like a owl.
Oh, wow.
That they actually designed the whole campground to be looked like an owl, which, I mean, doesn't mean anything.
That would, I bet they did.
But also that there is,
rich people do.
You know, if you go back, if you look at who, you know, the Canaanite god is, and you go back into history and look at who this owl could represent and stuff, like one of them is, you go back to Babylonian times, like the city of Babylon, which was like destroyed because they were worshiping false gods and things like that, and people were literally sacrificed. Like in the Bible, they talk about parents bringing their sons and daughters, shedding innocent blood, the blood of their own sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, desecrating the land with bloodshed. That's literally in the Bible, Psalm 106:34-43.
But that's a bull.
Right, but this is the bull, right? Not the owl. So there's not a direct correlation.
There.
But apparently, there's another picture of some other Babylonian goddess that had owls next to her that were like protecting her. So the theory is that these guys are like Canaanites, and they're like a part of this ancient religion that worships these false gods that are ultimately, you know, any type of false god in the eyes of Christianity goes back to Satan and satanic cults and rituals, things like that. So that's kind of the short version of that. I mean, there's a lot more to that. But this, I wanted to bring this up because this was kind of interesting, and I can't confirm that this is authentic or not, but I assume it is because he got it from when he snuck in. They hand you a program, right?
Yeah.
So we got a program in for the ceremony for the cremation of care, and he points out that on the program itself, the like wooden box where the effigy is looks like a little like skeleton of a child. And I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't look like that to me. It looks like a skeleton. It's a drawing. I mean, or a picture. I don't know what it is.
I can't even really see it.
It's very hard to see. It's very faint, but you can tell like the legs are sticking up and then like the torso is really small. So he's like, this is clearly a child, representing that they do child sacrifice there, which maybe, I mean,
that's a stretch.
That's a stretch, but
there's not enough evidence for that, I feel like. But I mean,
and that there's this demon on there.
I wonder
PJ.
If at one point, I wonder if like, you know, when they started this, they used to actually do human sacrifices. Like people were savage even 100 years ago. Maybe, I wouldn't be shocked. But maybe eventually they were like, you know, we really can't do this anymore. Yeah. You know, it's going to get out that we're doing this. And the world changed a lot, obviously. And maybe they changed it to this whole thing about care and everything. But they still want to have the ritual.
A cover story for it, sure.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're necessarily, like, still doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it really, I don't know.
I think especially since prior to when Alex Jones went in, which was 2000, was the time that he went in and filmed this. There was previously people that had snuck in because, I mean, people have been wanting to know what the hell's going on in Bohemian Grove for a long time.
Especially local people.
So, like, people have tried to sneak in for a long time. And, I mean, I think it'd be pretty hard to, like, be doing that kind of shit and, like, people not hearing things and, like, seeing things, weird things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the screams and things like that, which are clearly, from this recording, are just, like, something played over a recorder. Like, you can hear speakers, like, the music they're playing. It sounds like... You guys kept saying like a Disney play almost like, which, like
it sounds like a Disney
or a Disney ride or, you know, like one of those rides you go to and it's like playing this thing in animatronics or whatever.
Or like a haunted house or something.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah. Like a staged like a
stage
scene.
Show thing. Yeah.
And that's what it seems like. But maybe at one point it was the real deal. Like,
maybe now it's just a tradition. Mm-hmm. It's a ritual and they do it every year.
But the people say that it's just a ceremony to burn away your worries for the next couple weeks.
I don't know. I feel like there's got to be more than just that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's weird. It's very weird. But the other thing that they do there during the 2 weeks is they do plays, which is interesting. They'll do like Shakespeare plays. Like they have the members participate in plays and stuff. It's really weird. But one that they did in particular was... Or one that they do every year, rather, is called the Grove Play or the High Jinx, which is serious, and then the Low Jinx, which is not.
Interesting.
And a writer, apparently, in 1989, described the Low Jinx as vigorously lowbrow or trashy. Like, just, I'm
wow,
sure
just
it
like
was just like,
humor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just dumbass shit.
Penis jokes.
Exactly. And that every year they create new plays that are written and performed by the club's members. And oftentimes they're sexist towards women, of course.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm. They said that the mood is reminiscent of high school and there's no end to the PP and penis jokes, suggesting that these men advanced in so many other ways were emotionally arrested sometime during their adolescence. Like that's how they act essentially.
Wow.
They act like they've
$75,000 on this play.
On one of the plays, yeah.
Why do they act like that? Like it's not funny. Like how could you as a fully grown ass dude be like, oh well, penis joke.
I think boys will always think that's funny. I mean, you think it's funny, don't lie. I still sometimes think
that's
funny.
Come on, like they're describing it like they're running around being like pee-pee jokes.
But they are literally, they're like running through the forest naked. Like people
well,
said,
okay, I'm not running through the forest naked. Okay, I may laugh at it like a pee-pee joke, but come on,
yeah,
this
it is
kind of
weird. It's all these really important people. That's what they do when they're together.
They do. Yeah, let's remind ourselves that none of us are the top 1%. Like if that's what the top one's joking about, then we have concerns.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's wild to think about that they could be doing that.
Yeah.
It really is.
Totally.
Yeah. And I mean, like some of the other plays that they do are just inspired by like mythology, folklore, even religion. But what's interesting is there may be a connection to the Vatican, actually. Apparently,
that would not be shocking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is just kind of weird. I don't know. So the Grove has a patron saint, the Saint John of Nepomuk. And according to legend, St. John became a saint because of his devotion to preserving the sanctity and secrecy of the confessional. And the secrets he refused to share were those of Queen Johanna of Bohemia. So it makes sense that that he would become a patron of all these people in Bohemian Grove, because they take their privacy very seriously. And they ban all recording devices, obviously. This woman that worked there for the summer said that no cell phones were allowed. Even the workers are not allowed cell phones, obviously. And some of these workers remember seeing cell phones destroyed in front of the offending member if they snuck them into camp. So, like, they're absolutely, like, serious about the no cell phone policy, no recording at all.
I bet it's getting harder and harder nowadays. They must have, like, a drop your phone in the bucket before you come into camp, boys.
Yeah. But one of the, like, rumors that's out there is, like, there's prostitutes there. Like, we know for sure, like, in the early days there definitely were. But, like, people still believe that there's, like, a lot of, like, sex happening at Bohemian Grove, too. Like, whether it's, you know.
Yeah.
Straight, gay, or consensual, like whatever they're doing.
There's a lot of people who think that these guys are like closeted and that they leave their wives, and that's why there's no women allowed at night.
Yeah.
And then they go there.
They go crazy and just do wild shit. Yeah. Yep.
You know, fulfill their actual fantasies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they have to like fake their lives.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe they're doing that. I wouldn't be surprised.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, all these guys together for 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's like basically a big sausage fest.
It's a giant release. So yeah, I guess. Jesus. This was kind of interesting, though. That's kind of related to it. But on the $1 bill, if you look really carefully, you got to zoom in really carefully. But there's apparently an image that looks like an owl peeking its head over the edge of the semicircle on the $1 bill. And it does kind of look like an owl a little bit. It's like you can't even see it, really, unless you like get a microscope and look at it. But it does kind of look like a head of an owl. They snuck it in
there.
It
does. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, yes.
Which makes you think it's like, oh, of course there's an owl there. The Federal Reserve chairman's fucking at Bohemian Grove. Yeah. They're probably like, hey. When they designed the $1 bill, they're like, hey.
Like, put a pyramid on there and an owl. Remind these motherfuckers who owns them.
They're slaves, man. Yeah. So, I don't know, man. It's really weird.
It is.
Yeah, the owls can turn their head, allowing them to virtually see in all directions.
Exactly. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yep.
So, what are they doing there?
My mom loves owls. I always buy her owl things.
And I love owls too. They're such cool creatures, but now the elite are using them as their...
I'm never going to see it again.
Their god they worship.
Well, something's clearly going on there. So, I mean, I feel like they definitely do a lot of meetings. There's a lot of casual conversations. It's a place to talk about things off the record quietly, you know, and be able to bounce things off of each other, ideas and stuff. I don't think there's any like, you know, official business being done there, but it's a casual place to you know, make business deals and shit, basically.
Well, if you think about it, it's like, it's kind of like a workplace function, right?
Yeah.
You go to a workplace function that's outside of
the
workplace.
It's almost like they're a big company that runs the world.
Yeah.
It's like the New World Order's hangout camp.
Yeah.
It's like their big work holiday
retreat.
Party.
Yeah. It's their work retreat.
Their annual work retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally what it is, where they can all like catch up, get on the same page, say all the shit they wanted to say.
I mean,
but
it's
they don't
weird.
Say.
The outfits are weird. It's all very strange. And the fact that so many
tradition?
Of these higher up people go to this.
Is it just tradition
know,
that's
like,
passed on from years and years? I mean, it did start in the 1800s. So it makes sense why they'd be way more ritualistic or whatever, you know. But I don't know. The fact they still do it the same way.
I mean, it's clearly a ritual. No shit. But. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is it like
I
tied to the
weird,
occult
though.
And tied to like this like dark satanic
are they
thing?
Doing magic stuff? Yeah. No, I don't know that. I don't know.
Are they drawing power?
But
when
I think it's
there?
Fucking weird that all these people are participating in that. The fact that like George Bush was like sitting in the audience, like watching the owl is so weird to me.
Yeah. Thinking that they're just watching this thing.
Yeah.
Go, yeah.
Like hanging out Nixon, Reagan. They're all just chilling.
Or thinking about
this
like
owl show. Like what is this shit? If people knew this, if the average voter knew this, they'd be like, what the fuck is this?
But apparently they're like savages, man. Like these former workers that worked there said part of the reason why women aren't allowed to like, you know, go anywhere or be anywhere near where stuff is actually happening is because they just desecrate wherever they want. Like they'll just like start peeing like right there in front of you. Like
they're
literally,
like, we're men.
They're whipping their shit out
Manly
all the time.
Men,
right,
running
around
with
peeing
beers,
on trees. Yeah.
Making pee pee jokes.
What the hell? This is the
it's so
thing.
Wild.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's
really
so weird.
Wild, man. It's just such a crazy. So who knows what the truth is? I mean, we don't know. It's still secret.
It is.
Still don't know.
Someone make a Facebook page. Raid Storm Bohemian Grove.
Storm. Dude. Storm Bohemian Grove. That was the next thing to go viral.
Now that That'd would be actually awesome. Be like a.
That'd be great because fairly... it would bring a lot of people into the knowledge on this.
Yeah.
That would be interesting if that would, something like that went viral. Dude, that could actually, that could work.
If enough people showed up to Bohemian
Grove.
Yeah,
and they did that special run, Naruto run. Everyone ripped me for calling it like Natoro run or something.
Oh my God.
Dude, that's coming up, you guys.
Yeah.
That's coming up. Wait, when is that? That might be the 20th. Yeah. Actually, it might be after our next episode. Hang on one second, folks.
Area 51, the storm.
The raid. The raid, man. Aren't you going to the raid? I got my tickets already.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are bailing on that.
Really? I'm surprised.
I think a lot of people are realizing
Dude, someone's going to fucking show up. At least one dumbass is going to show up at Area 51.
Guess who's going to be waiting for him?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be...
The camo dudes.
Yeah. The camo dudes are going to be like, ah, you actually showed up. Well, we got a special place for you.
So it's the 20th. It's a Friday. You know, they made it on a weekend so that you can enjoy your weekend after the raid, you know.
Because you'll be...
You don't have to go to work the next day or anything. You can recover after the
raid. Sorry, I'm late for work. I was out raiding late last night.
Yeah, I got stuck in the lower level of Area 51 over the weekend, man. It was crazy.
Okay,
was
so wild. Actually we do have...
Let a couple
have,
aliens out.
We do have UFO one more... Stop. We have one more episode.
Oh.
Before, so yeah. Cool. But I'm excited. We got to have like some coverage of that.
Yeah.
We should do like a live coverage episode of that.
Live from Area 51.
Dude, I wish we could, but there'll be probably no coverage of it or anything.
No.
What if it's like, what if enough people come that like CNN has to cover it and they're like literally covering this Area 51 raid? Who knows, dude? 2019 has been a crazy ass year. I would not be surprised if it actually ends up being a whole thing.
Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. We'll see.
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. All right, guys. You heard it here, folks. Maybe, maybe not.
That's my prediction. Maybe, maybe not.
Oh, my God.
We'll see.
But until then.
Yeah. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you did, give it a thumbs up. Make sure to follow us on Spotify, iTunes. Follow us on our Instagram as well.
Yes. @MileHighPodcast.
Stream the intro topic sometimes.
We
so
did.
You can watch
we stream them today.
Us live on Instagram. So
yeah.
But yeah, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there today. Thanks again for listening. Stay safe.
And stay woke.
We'll see you guys next time.